It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Humpity, 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 humpity. Hump day. Yeah, okay. Wednesday. We're getting over the hump today. And we're glad to have you kind of drag us over it as well. Or we'll drag you, or we'll just kind of drag each other over it. Whatever it works. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Light the Tower on the Horn. 1049, 1019, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Viewable by those of you care to avail yourselves of Twitch. We always offer that up with the precaution that you actually have to look at us if you do that. So, that's okay.
Watch at your own risk.
Yes, at your own peril, certainly. That other voice you heard there, of course, is that of my co-host, the pride of Northwest Williamson County, a proud graduate of Florence High School.
Damn right I am.
He was known as Highway 79 in his honorable mention all-district days as a former outstanding offensive lineman for the Florence Buffaloes. But you know him best for his work and outstanding that is as well at Horns 24/7. That's Jeff Howe.
If y'all want me to bring in the jersey just to put it on a hanger and hang it in the studio on Fridays, I'll get it. I'll get
it
done.
Okay. That's going to be good Friday thing.
All right. I gotta dig it out of the closet. I think I know where it's at, but I'll make sure I dig it out.
And we'll have that available on Twitch. People can see the purple and gold. Is it a purple jersey with a white numeral or purple with a yellow?
Purple with white.
Okay, very good.
Purple with white. I didn't dig our jerseys, so this is the home jersey I wore my sophomore year through my senior year.
Okay.
So our head coach at the time, Ricky Colson, I remember when he ordered uniforms.
Yeah.
He's like, I want just plain Penn State, Nebraska-looking jerseys was his exact words. And I was just kind of like, oh, okay.
Okay, look, you put a purple jersey on an offensive lineman, we'd look like the Grimace.
I look like the Grimace,
from McDonald's. Yeah,
indeed.
Yeah, that kind of
deal. Plus, I played with I had the big neck roll, Craig.
I
didn't get the cool Brian Cox, like, neck extender. So I either rolled with just the big neck roll or the cowboy collar, which shout out, props to Luke Brockermeyer for bringing the cowboy collar back in Logan College football. I look extra large, no pun intended.
Like, you don't still like have the either the neck roll and or the helmet, do you?
No. My brother has his Florence helmet.
Really?
Because he needed it for an all-star game and just
held it.
Sorry, Coach Carter, that's where that helmet is. He never took it back. He just
what was on the side? Was it his plain purple helmet or did
no? We had an F logo, and you'll see it on the jersey. It's that same logo that's on the jersey.
Did anybody ever like put a U right after the F on the helmet there or something?
No, but you know what? We had really cool stickers, and it was so everybody gets helmet stickers, and I love how different people do it different way. So we had, if I'm remembering right, so down the back center stripe of the helmet,
yeah,
you had stars, and that was for that was for wins.
Okay.
Defense, if you were on defense and you met team or individual goals, your reward stickers were skull and crossbones.
Okay.
Offense, your reward stickers were footballs. And special teams, your reward stickers were just a little sticker that said pride. Mm-hmm. So then pride was like special teams, or like if you were scout team player of the week or whatever, you got to put the little pride sticker.
I think what they should have done, made all the stickers a little small block letter U and then put it under the F as you dropped it out there.
I wanted like, you remember Colorado? I don't think they do it anymore. Colorado used to have like the little buffaloes
put
on their helmet.
Yeah,
but
that
the
would
logo
have been cool.
The logo was a little different.
Yeah.
It was Giddings could do that because Giddings has the Colorado.
Yes,
logo.
They do. A guy who may have earned his own letters in other ways, not on the football field, is our producer, and of course, the guy who makes all things work with Flex ATX, because it's a Flex. And he's our man behind the glass, Jonathan, John Donaldson, J.J. Donaldson. We know him as Snoop Daniel. How's your morning rolling out?
Good. I got a letterman at being an escort.
Being an escort?
Mm-hmm. Oh, for like in college, like the Showstoppers at Navarro,
yeah.
I would wear khakis and a red polo shirt, and I would walk them to the bathroom and such. So that was...
You got a letter for walking people to the bathroom?
Yeah, well, I don't know about a letter. That was what I lettered. I felt I lettered.
You lettered in walking people to the John, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
It's very noble.
So in high school, I lettered in football, basketball, track.
Oh, you hooked too?
And yeah, and Snoop, okay. Snoop lettered in taking people to the potty.
How about that? That's
all right.
Special.
I bet. I can see you hooping, Jeff.
I know it was not pretty. My focus in hoops was Drake Stanzik, my basketball coach, would basically told me this early in my senior year. He's like, Jeff, just need you to understand your function is going to be when you go in, I need you to use as many of your fouls as possible and throw your body around in there and rebound. I'm like, I got a coach. That's it.
Now you can handle that.
You give me my 8 minutes a night. I will.
Yes, sir.
I will do that. I will rebound and foul.
I know this isn't going to come as no surprise to either of you. I did get a varsity letter my senior year in high school for PA announcing.
That's cool.
Yeah, for the basketball team.
That is cool.
For the basketball
That's
team.
Cool.
And the reason I got it, I think I told this story before. Our PA PA system was so bad in the gym. Most of the people couldn't even really hear it well. It sounded like out of Charlie Brown. It was like that. And I knew this. So what I did was I was doing play-by-play over the PA of the game.
Oh, wow.
And that's part of where I was initially cutting some teeth is play. And I did play-by-play. But what I did not know was, because it was the PA in the gym, it was the PA through the entire school. And then all of a sudden, I started having
teachers.
Okay,
now I think I remember you telling me.
Telling me, yeah, we were sitting in our room grading papers and heard you doing that. That was good. I was like, really? Didn't know. So I got a varsity letter for that. But anyway.
Little did they know.
A guy who earned his own varsity letters and then some and has earned himself state championship rings, six of those, is Todd Dodge, the head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals. He's going to join us in a few minutes. He joins us every Wednesday. Now, this is an open date week for the Chaparrals. So Todd was... I don't know if it was family business or just business or hanging out, whatever. I think he had to go over to the greater Houston area or something. We'll ask him. He's going to join us by phone this week, and then he'll be back in studio next week when the Shaps get back to playing varsity games, having a game. They have no game this week. So he'll join us coming up in a few minutes. At the bottom of the hour, we have a Longhorn notebook. I'm sure Jeff will have many things to discuss. We'll also have a little bit of the Casey Thompson media availability yesterday.
I got to talk about Casey Thompson because I'll go back and reference the stat that I mentioned earlier a couple of weeks ago or earlier in camp, or I forgot where I was going with that, but the stat I mentioned recently about, you know, how few times Texas has gone wire to wire this season using only one quarterback.
Right.
But if you look at quarterback changes that were not driven by an injury, Craig.
Yes.
What Steve Sarkisian is doing hadn't happened as often as you'd think.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. So that's coming up around the bottom of the hour. We do have Inconceivable. We have a really good Inconceivable item sent to us by none other than our man CB.
Yes, CB is CB's a pretty big part of today's presentation.
He is. So we've got that. At 11, just past 11 o'clock, just past the top of the hour, as I've mentioned in some of my daily reports, not only do the Longhorns have a home football game this weekend, not only does Texas State have a home football game this weekend, the Longhorns play Rice, Texas State will host Incarnate Word, but the third collegiate program in our area has a home game this weekend, and is it a doozy? We speak, of course, of the Southwestern University Pirates, Division III, and the Southwestern Pirates in the American Southwest Conference are hosting the number one team in the nation, the Crusaders of Mary Hardin-Baylor. And Joe Austin, the head coach of the Southwestern Pirates, will join us, a good friend of our program, and we always enjoy letting folks know what's going on with the Pirates. They come off a win. They won at Bellhaven last Saturday, so they're 1-1. So it's funny, all three area teams are 1-1, and all three area teams were on the road last week, and all three area teams are playing home games this week. So we'll visit with Joe Austin coming up.
Is Hal Mumme still the head coach at Bellhaven?
That's a good question. I'll check that and see. Not sure about that.
I know he was at one point.
But they did win 34-27. So we'll...
He is not the head coach of Bellhaven, by the way.
Okay. All right. That was a quick.
We threw that in the Google machine real quick.
Got that done? Okay.
Hey, real quick. So before we get to Coach Dodge, can I ask you to confirm a story?
Okay.
Really quick from your days covering the Dallas football Cowboys and the Metroplex.
Sure.
So your friends, the Musers in Dallas, Craig Miller and George Dunham.
Right.
Anytime they refer to Ed Warder, they refer to him as something funny Ed. And apparently this stems from a press conference, a Jimmy Johnson press conference, and like they said 90 or 91, and Jimmy's in a typical Jimmy mood.
Yeah.
And I forget exactly how the story goes, but apparently Jimmy gets asked a question, and the way the question was phrased, Ed Werder starts laughing. And they said it got really awkward because Jimmy just stopped answering the question and started smacking his lips, looked right at Ed Werder and said, something funny, Ed? Something humorous?
Yep. Absolutely happened.
So that happened.
Nice. Absolutely. Okay. That was right in the same, that was right in the wheelhouse the same time as the Munchos incident. Yeah. I think it was 90. I think that was 90.
Okay.
The Munchos incident happened in 89. It was in the 1-15. But I think it was 90.
Well, and they didn't start off great in 90 either. So if it was early in the season, Jimmy was probably extra salty.
Yeah, yeah. So, yes, it did. It did actually happen there.
Good.
So.
Good to know.
Yeah. So anyway, that is true. That's an absolute true thing. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the Cowboys are going forward. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll visit with Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals, and then we'll continue with Light the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
1994.
We're at the midway point of the week. We're going to have our Whataburger Top 5 coming up in a few moments. It'll be top 5 players to watch this week. I can promise you the list will not have a Westlake Chaparral on it. The reason being, the Chaps don't play this week. Otherwise, it probably would be the case. But as always, we're pleased to have our weekly conversation with the head coach of the Chaps, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Check them out on the web at cpdoors.com. Joining us on the Vaqueros Cafe Hotline is Chaps head coach Todd Dodge. Appreciate the time, Todd. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Craig. I'm joining y'all from somewhere on headed west on I-10 in a U-Haul.
Really? What are you hauling? And from where and to where?
Well, I've got it. My mom, we're moving my mom from one little old place to another there in Katy, and so I had to take some of her furniture from there back here towards the Austin Hill Country area. So that's what we're doing.
Well, see, you're still being a good son, and that's the important thing.
That's right.
Well, it's nice to be able to have the open week to do that, and even nicer when you know your team is playing the way you guys want it to and going on the road to that neutral site and getting a nice win over Mansfield Summit. I know had to feel really good.
I tell you what, I'm so glad, you know, after these 3 weeks are over with, that we scheduled like we did, because I think I know a lot about my team now, and I'm not so sure sometimes you know, in some years, if you don't play people who are going to test you, you really don't really know fully about who you are going into district play. And I think we know exactly what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are, what we need to improve on. And that's what we're doing this week, is spending a whole lot of time working on us.
Coach, what are some of those things that you like about where your kids are at right now? And what are maybe a couple of those areas you're looking to polish up going into district play?
Well, really, really like where our running game has turned towards in the 3 weeks. That was probably our biggest, not concern, but need for, you know, for someone standing up. Our offensive line has had a huge deal with that. Obviously, Hunter Hinault, he has three back-to-back-to-back rushing, 100-yard rushing games, which you know, I'm not so sure we would have seen that coming out of spring ball, but it is here now. We've got to enhance that. Cade is spreading the ball around to many different receivers. We got, you know, four guys in double-digit catches after 3 weeks, so it's not just a one-man show or a one, you know, outside or inside game. And then defensively, you know, we were very, very young 3 weeks ago. We're still young, but gosh almighty, have we had some guys grow up. You know, Will Courtney at safety, Maggots at safety, Colton Bosick at defensive end, just playing great. You know, those are some of the young guys that it was their first varsity start, you know, 3 weeks ago.
Coach, it's Snoop. Okay, who would you compare Hunter Hinault to? Because that's who I was going to ask. Does he remind you of a running back you've had in the past? Or?
Oh, gosh. He is such, he's very unique from a standpoint of just journeyman-like, really good athlete, but understands how to make 4 to 5 yards every time he touches the ball. There's nothing going east and west. He's got good patience. When he sees the hole, he hits it. You know, a little bit of Tripp Graham about 3 years ago, as far as production. And the fact that going into the year, we didn't know that Tripp would stand up and do what he did as a senior. He had been moved to other positions. He had been the running back of the class, but not until his senior year. And it's very similar with Hunter. And I'm sure glad that that this has arrived.
Visiting with Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals, here on Light the Tower on the Horn. Todd, you mentioned about the young guys you have on defense and in that secondary as well. You mentioned Maggot as well and some of the other guys. Have you been – I know you're not surprised with anything that Tony Salazar could do with your guys defensively, but how impressed are you that they have made such a rapid ascent to being able to deliver – on a Friday night, the way you need those positions to deliver to be as young as they are?
Yeah, well, as a whole, you know, we literally had one guy coming back that started the state championship game, you know, and that was Carter Barksdale. The thing that I'm glad is we have really been tested. These three offenses that we played against, Temple scored 60 points last Friday night. Euless Trendy is who they are. I mean, just hide and watch and follow them through the year. And Ollie Gordon and that whole deal. They'll be ringing, you know, 40 and 45 points every week. And then the bunch from Mansfield Summit may be the best offense we've played all year long. And in all cases, we got nicked up a little bit, which is okay. Because when the game was over with, we had more points than the other team did.
Coach, from that standpoint, do you like the way your schedule sets up where you play your non-district schedule and then you know, you get a little break to really kind of regather yourselves, reevaluate everything, work on yourselves, and then you go into district play? It's kind of nice the way the schedule set up for your kids this year.
It does. This is what our district 26-6A decided to do before the COVID hit. Of course, last year everybody changed their schedules all around. But
right.
This is what we were going to do is have a district wide bye week, week four. The only two that aren't falling into that is Lake Travis and
San Marcos.
They're playing Friday night, but everybody else is off, and it comes at a good time for us. We've been really blessed that we've played three very physical games and three physical teams, and in the big picture things. We came out really good on the injury side of things, but there is a cost on the toll on your body during when you play people like that. And so this has been a good week for us to, you know, to get out there and get, you know, an hour and 45 minutes work done on ourselves, get some extra treatment for the guys who got some bumps and bruises and really look forward to coming back and being a better team when we step into district play.
Todd, you're well imbued with what goes on with district policy and things of that nature. I forgot to ask Hank this yesterday when he popped on with us. We had him on. Most districts, when they do that district-wide bye, everybody checks out for the week. 11-5-AD-1, for example, with Cedar Park and the Leander ISD and the other ones. Was there a specific reason why that one game is being played this week, even though because you have an even number amount of schools in the district with the Lake Travis-San Marcos game as opposed to everybody else being off this week?
You know, it was a situation. Actually, it happened back when we first realigned in February of 2020. Is that San Marcos and Lake Travis for summer? There was some kind of scheduling issue in the district with San Marcos, and they petitioned the rest of the district to see if they could play on the off week and then just have their off week next week, which is week five, is the week that they would have been playing each other. And everybody, there was no issue. There's no advantage or anything like that. So I think everybody granted that wish. So I think that's how that happened.
The other thing I wanted to ask you, and you kind of hinted at a little bit, when you get in a bye week like this on the schedule, and I always love what Coach Brown used to say, Mac Brown used to say, there's an open date. We're not off. There's an open date. He used to say that. That means we're working. How different is it in terms of the work you have your guys do during an open date week as opposed to a game week?
It's basically, as I told my coaching staff on Saturday, we're going to go back to install one, which is basically the first week of spring ball. Not that I feel like we've regressed or anything like that. It's just sometimes that's the way to get back to the basics as far as what you're executing. Obviously, a lot more time to work on tackling, a lot more time to work on stuff like scramble drills, you know, stuff to work on very specific route combinations that you felt like you may not have gotten enough of. You know, we spent 20 minutes on Tuesday morning on scramble drill, you know, where you and working that in the placement of wide receivers when a quarterback has to break the pocket and making sure we deploy in the right way. And so hopefully down the road, as we get, you know, we do have a mobile quarterback and he does a great job staying in the pocket, but he gets out and, you know, maybe we'll make a play or two because of the work we've done this week.
The as you get ready for this now, and, you know, I know also the other thing that you like to do is keep in touch with Riley. You talk to him every day. And, of course, Carroll has had some big games as well. But now as you get ready to go this week, Carroll's got a big game against Arlington Martin. How much have you talked to Riley about getting ready to take on Martin this week?
Well, they know him really well because, you know, less than a year ago they played him in a big, huge game in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And came back, and I think Carroll probably was the underdog in that game, but in the playoffs and beat Martin in comeback fashion. So, you know, he knows that Bob is going to bring a tremendously physical team, and they're going to be really good on defense, and they're going to be talented, and that's not going to change. They're the same as they have been. So I know one thing, he's glad to be back to the safe confines of Dragon Stadium. It's going to be the first home game they played all year long.
That's true. It's true. Hey, Todd, I appreciate the time as always. Good luck on all the U-hauling, and we'll look forward to visiting next week and talking about the district opener for you guys against Del Valle.
Snoop, if you want to come down to Horseshoe Bay later this afternoon and help me get this couch out,
oh,
that'd be great.
All right, I'll let you know, Coach. I'll text you.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right. That's Thanks, Todd Coach. Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparral. See, there you got an offer on the table there.
Okay.
You can go over there and swing out there to Horseshoe Bay and help the coach with the couch.
Kicking it with Coach Dodge would be pretty cool.
And there you go. Right now it's time to kick it with the notebook.
House Longhorn Notebook.
Let's go ahead and get to this Casey Thompson.
Sure.
Craig, I know you had something you wanted to get to here.
Can we
be a nice little segue?
Yeah, well, I just dropped this on the sky out of the thing we were just working on with Casey Thompson there. Do you have that?
And in the process of
I meant to tell him to pull it up. That's on me.
It's all good.
Okay. This is on me. I meant to tell him to pull it up.
It's
and
all
then
good.
Now, you know what? You find it, Snoop. So I can.
It.
Oh, you got it?
I got it almost. I got it now.
Okay.
All right. So what it was obviously media availability yesterday. Casey Thompson was asked a variety of questions about his first collegiate start coming up, his first start as a Longhorn, and what he went through as well when he didn't was not named the starter. Coming out of the fall camp workouts, and you knew it was an inevitable question, Jeff. Somebody said, "Did you think about transferring?" And why did you not transfer, and all that sort of stuff.
And let me say, for the record, I was not on this call because the call was taking place during our show.
During our show, that's exactly right. But he was asked that question about it, and he just basically said that never entered into his mind.
I'm already in this thing, and I've waited my opportunity, and I've waited so long. It's like there's no way that I could just quit and let up at this point. So my thought process was, yeah, it hurt for a second, and I'm going to let it sting, but I'm going to wake up the next day. I took a day to kind of think about it and soak it all in. And then as soon as the Monday comes around, I just woke up, and I went back to work, and I said, no matter what happens, I'm going to be ready to play, and I'm going to take this thing over when the opportunity presents itself. And so that was my thought process and kind of my mindset going through it. It was just trust the process, just continue to persevere and work hard. And my mindset was, you know, if I'm not going to get named week one and it's not going to be given it to me, then I have to go take it myself. And I have to show my teammates that I'm just going to continue to work hard and be the best I can be every day.
And it was like that throughout pretty much the entire thing. I mean, I think you've said this before, Jeff. Casey Thompson just now may be earning his first collegiate start, but he's always been on the all interview and press conference team.
Exactly. And I think what's key to remember here, though, is this is a guy that, again, when we talk about the state of this offense and the fact that the offensive line, that personnel is not going to change, at least that's what Sark indicated on Monday. Now, we'll find out later in the week and Saturday if, indeed, we do see more of Hayden Connor or Andre Carrick or anybody else that's in that two deep. But with the offensive line situation staying the same, and, you know, Craig, how often in this offseason did I talk about my wide receiver concerns? You need a quarterback that can operate when things break down, when things are not on schedule. And we have seen Casey Thompson come into a chaotic situation. Look, say what you will about the Alamo Bowl. And I've said you can take this to the bank about Casey Thompson's performance in San Antonio at the end of last calendar year. For a backup quarterback to come off the bench cold at halftime, in a one-possession game, when you're replacing a four-year starter and the coach and the OC to give you the ball and say, here, kid, go run the offense, that's a pretty freaking chaotic situation for a backup quarterback. And it's one of those deals you always – it's a backup quarterback. You prepare for that moment. But it's kind of like anything we deal with in life, Craig. Having a kid, dealing with the death in the family, you can prepare yourself for it and think you're prepared. But until it happens, you're not really prepared.
No, and he even tried to – I'll never forget the post-game interview we had with him after that, the Alamo Bowl. He even tried to downplay it a little bit, saying, well, it wasn't a total shock. Sam came over to me in the sidelines in the second quarter after he felt the shoulder and said, you might ought to get ready. He said, so I kind of hit. Okay, so you found out midway through the second quarter.
Exactly.
But that's Casey. He kind of downplays it and boom, goes about his business.
But, you know, it's interesting. When you look at Casey Thompson's story, Craig, he had 8 months, almost 9 months to go win the job and didn't. And you think, okay, if you're the veteran quarterback, maybe you should separate from the young guy, man. That's where the separation should have occurred if you're looking at the historic quarterback battles. The older guy should separate at some point, and that didn't happen. But, you know, now that he's got this opportunity, what's he going to do with it? And I think it's key to mention, you know, they've had a couple practices this week already. My colleague Chip Brown reported in his Morning Brew column at Horns 24/7 this morning that Casey's been sharp in practice, exuding a ton of confidence, which that was obvious in the media session yesterday. So, again, what is he going to do with this opportunity? And when you look at it from a big picture standpoint, with what Sark is doing by making a quarterback change this early in the season. And I mentioned it a few weeks ago, Craig, like you can count on one hand the number of times that Texas has gone wire to wire with a quarterback in a season.
Yeah.
And I even went so far as to look at it in the Big 12 era where thinking about those games where, you know, it might've been a game where you needed a guy to get you through, or it was a guy like Tyrone Swoops that had a specialty role or something of that nature. John Childs would fall into that same category in 2007. You got James Brown in 1996, Chris Sims in 2002, Vince Young in 2005, Colt McCoy in 2008, Garrett Gilbert in 2010. Oh, and by the way, you do need more than one hand because it's six with Sam Ellinger in 2019. All those other years since Texas has been a member of the Big 12 starting in 1996, they've needed in some way, shape, or form two quarterbacks to get through the season. But, as Rod Babers would say, the Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, Kim Kardashian, Serena Williams size, but...
Yes.
How many times, Craig, do you think that's happened strictly for a performance issue? Or just a coach making a change? Not an injury-invoked quarterback change.
Okay.
I've only found four times where that's happened.
Really?
2000, you had that... You know, the infamous last great true quarterback debate around these parts. Chris Sims started the opener of the 2000 season against then Louisiana Lafayette. Major Applewhite gets the road start against Stanford, a game that Texas lost. Chris Sims starts the next two games against Houston and Oklahoma State. Major Applewhite gets the start against Oklahoma in the 63-14 game, and then it's Major pretty much the rest of the way until he gets hurt in Lubbock, and then Chris Sims finishes the season. The next time it happened was in 2003, where Vince Young had kind of a specialty role early on while Chance Mock was the quarterback. Then after 65-13, which was game six. So keep in mind, Major Applewhite starts the opener in 2000, or Chris Sims starts the opener in 2000, the second game you got a new starter. In 2003, you got through game six before Mack Brown and Greg Davis turned the offense over to Vince Young. And yes, you needed Chance Mock a couple of times. He had to come in relief in the bowl game, but Vince Young started the rest of the way. In 2011, started the year with Garrett Gilbert as your starter. Then the BYU game happened, and then after that, Brian Harsin had to look at Case McCoy and David Ashton and say, okay, I got two guys with very little experience, and now how do you make this offense work? That was another change. And then 2015, after that forgettable night in South Bend when Charlie Strong basically changed the entire offense the following week, and really the clock started ticking on his tenure, not only was Sean Watson out as offensive coordinator and play caller, Gerard Hurd was the starting quarterback for the Rice game that year in place of Tyrone Swoop. So it's only four instances, Craig, I can find really in the Big 12 era of Texas football where a quarterback change has been made, not due to injury or, you know, some other reason. It's just because, hey, the coach just wanted to go, felt the need to go with a different guy. So Casey Thompson's in that unique situation where this hasn't happened that much. What does he do with the opportunity now?
Yeah. It's a great question. So, you know, he says he's ready for the opportunity, and we'll find out.
I do wonder, and I think to look at how the Steve Sarkisian offense might function with Casey Thompson at quarterback. If you've got time, Longhorn fans, go to YouTube or wherever, start rabbit-holing it. Go back and look at some of Steve Sarkisian's game plans and how things evolved at Washington. When he had a guy like Jake Locker who had some running ability, or a guy like Keith Price who is more of a runner, Sark didn't need to really run the quarterback the brief time he was at USC as the head coach. Obviously, as the offensive coordinator at Alabama, you didn't need to invoke the quarterback run game and make that a big part of the offense. Now, I don't think the quarterback run game under Sark will ever be as big a part of the offense as it was under Tom Herman, which that's one of those pillars of Tom Herman's offense. I don't think it'll ever be like that under Sark. But with Casey Thompson's skill set, okay, and if you're going to use his ability to extend plays, to use his legs, if you're going to do that, do we see more RPOs? Do we see more, you know, more action at the mesh point, more true read option type stuff? So that's going to be one thing to watch on Saturday is now that Casey Thompson's the guy, how does Sark maybe tailor this offense? And again, it's an offense. This isn't the offense ideally that Steve Sarkisian wants. The offense that he wants, we talked about it, Hudson Card is a better fit for what he wants. But, again, one of the great philosophers of our times, Rob Babers, said Ray Horton, one of his coaches in Detroit, told him this: football and life are both a constant struggle between what you want to be and what you need to be to survive. And that's what Steve Sarkisian, we know what Steve Sarkisian wants to be on offense, but what he needs to be right now to survive, what's better for this team, is tailoring this offense to Casey Thompson's skill set, which is going to be something just a little bit different than what the plan was with Hudson Card.
Hey, he mentioned last week on Longhorn Weekly, he said we've got to work the system how it best fits our personnel. So yeah, that speaks to what you're saying there. By the way, we'll obviously be recording Longhorn Weekly with Coach Sark at Pluckers tonight at 6:30 for folks who want to come out. It'll air tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. All right, so that's our Longhorn Notebook, and we didn't have a chance to get to it earlier because we moved up our conversation with Coach Dodge, but right now, how about a Whataburger Top 5 for you?
Now, it's time for the Whataburger Top 5.
Okay, prepare to receive.
Today's edition.
Here we go.
Top 5 players to watch.
This is where we hand the keys to the Whataburger Mobile to Snoop Daniel and say,
don't wreck it.
It's all yours, my friend. Give us five, not four as you did last week.
I got five.
You got five?
Even though we only have like five games.
There's a lot of buys going on.
Here they go.
Yeah?
Here they go, my friends.
Maybe we should have done that. The top five buys this week. No. All right. So, top five players to watch this week as selected by Snoop Daniel.
Five and four are actually playing tomorrow night. Number five is Jay Lambert, wide receiver for the Hutto Hippos. Me and Zach Lucero describe him as this year's Israel Morgan. Okay. He's a guy that's putting up dumb numbers, but he's not getting any college looks. Well, any big college looks. Four touchdowns last week. Even Coach Dodge mentioned the 60 points that Temple put up. Hutto put up 53. Jay was responsible for four of those touchdowns. So I don't want to call Hutto at Westwood a must-win, but if Hutto or Westwood want any shot at the playoffs, they have got to win this first game.
One of those teams wearing burnt orange is going to win, and the other one's not going to be happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's at Kelly Reeves Athletic Complex, not K-Rack.
No, it's Palmer at the Palace.
It's at the Palace. Okay?
Because Hutto still doesn't have their home stadium.
He's shown a little restraint, Craig.
I am. Give him
credit. Yeah, he's working it. All right.
All right, number four, Liberty Hill safety Caden McMahon. Now, he's a guy who was an edge rusher. He played on the defensive line in 2020. They moved him to safety, which I haven't really heard of, but he's killing it. Two interceptions already on the year, 10-plus tackles a game. If they're going to take out one of the top 4A teams in the state in LBJ, Liberty Hill at home is going to need Caden to have a big game.
Said he made the move from defensive line to safety.
How about that?
Huh.
A little bit of inverse and it worked.
Yeah.
It is a small level of 5A, so it makes a little more sense.
Have you ever heard of that?
Still.
He's long, lanky. He was a good edge rusher, you know, a basketball player looking. I guess if you put Julius Peppers at safety. Anyway.
Hey, right. It happens in six-man all the time. You got the center, you know, as a wide receiver. You know, it happens.
Whoa. All right, number three is Isaiah De Leon. He's the quarterback at San Marcos High. He's just a junior. He was the first quarterback that Coach John Walsh chose to put as his QB1. Still, you know, Lake Travis is going to be a tough task, but if San Marcos is going to at least make this respectable, number five has to have a good game.
Okay.
Number two on the Whataburger top five players to watch this week, Cedar Ridge athlete VJ Taylor. He had five touchdowns last week. This guy plays receiver, DB, and punts. He's one of the best punters in all of the district. I want to say in the area. He had a big five TDs against Hayes, 49-17 win last week. Round Rock, everybody's going to favor the Dragons, but both of them call Dragon Stadium their home. So
sure.
Something's going to have to give.
Okay.
And number one, if you haven't heard of McNeil quarterback, Luke Hutchinson. All right, he's a senior this year. He didn't play last year.
Three-year starter.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that he was, like you said, he was hurt last year.
I feel like Jeff Howe when I do, like, digging numbers like this. All right, so McNeil is 0-3. Oh, no, they're 1-2, but they scored 40, 21, and 28 respectively. In 2020, eight of their nine games, they scored 14 points or less. So to tell you what Luke Hutchinson means to this program is everything. And if they want a district win against a Vista Ridge team that I think they might can at least compete with, which they haven't in a long time, Luke Hutchinson's my number one player to watch this week.
And Vista Ridge had a 19-9 lead at Abilene at the half and let it slip away and lost 23-19. Mm-hmm.
Look at Snoop doing a deep dive for the Whataburger top five today.
So I'm watching the experts. I'm picking up what y'all do. I'm like trying to, you know, sprinkle a little in my game.
Yeah, hey, Craig, real quick before we go to break, just to wrap up the point I was making on, you know, how few times it's happened in the Big 12 era of this program where a quarterback switch has been made not because of injury but just because of a coach's decision. Casey Thompson doing something with this opportunity, it would buck the trend of just the chaotic situations, those four quarterback situations I mentioned. Remember, again, 2000, Mac Brown was going back and forth, really until Major Applewhite was injured in the Texas Tech game. In 2003, again, Vince Young was shaky at times and then just flat-out bad in the bowl game. 2011, again, two inexperienced quarterbacks. It was kind of back and forth. Mm-hmm. Case McCoy would start for a little bit, then David Ash got it, then it went back to Case McCoy, then David Ash for the bowl game. And then 2015 with Tyrone Swoops and Jerod Hurd, they both actually helped that offense with Jay Norvell and Jeff Traylor trying to cobble that thing together when the 18-wheeler package was born.
Yep.
And then Jerod got, I think it was a concussion against Texas Tech, and Swoops ended up starting the game they won at Baylor to end the year. So four really chaotic situations, and we talk about Casey Thompson needing to operate well in chaos. Can he calm that chaos, take this opportunity and run with it, and just settle that quarterback position?
I got to admit, one of my favorite play-by-play moments when Tyrone Swoops in the 18-wheeler package had the long touchdown run, and I did the you know, with the truck thing.
Was that against Texas Tech?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't done that since.
All right.
So I hope that's in the system somewhere.
Somewhere, maybe. All right, in the archives. All right. Coming up, we'll have our, speaking of inconceivable, yeah, we'll have our inconceivable file. That's next when we continue with Light the Tower on the Horn.
1990 and Snoop Daniel, Light the Tower.
Inconceivable. 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 Inconceivable.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Well, going into inconceivable, you know, our man Purple Buffalo's daddy wanted to congratulate you, Jeff. He said, congrats to the Purple Buffaloes on the 2-game win streak against Bangs Middle School and the School for the Blind. Go Cougs, he says.
I was thinking about Gerald when I had my morning constitutional before my shower.
It's usually
my time of the day when
you
I think about Gerald,
Texas.
Had to
go there with that.
It's fitting.
So we got a couple of things to get to here.
Hey, can I get to one in inconceivable
absolutely.
Real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Urban Meyer was asked today if he has interest in the USC job.
Why would somebody do that?
You know what his response was?
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah.
And of course, we all believe that.
I'd say there's no chance right now. Dude just started coaching in the NFL. He's got one game under. Okay, it was a loss to the Texans, for heaven's sakes. But he just started. So, anyway, a couple of things. This is kind of one of these dark stories, you know, that you don't like me to do.
Okay.
But we do them occasionally. Do you ever have the one of the, this is from the Department of Irrational Fears. And you guys can both say this.
Like snake in the toilet?
That's one.
Okay.
How about like when you're walking on a sidewalk, this especially happens in big cities and downtowns and stuff like that, and you walk across a grate and there's like, you can see way down below it. Mm-hmm. Like, do you ever get like the willies that maybe it might collapse or something?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit?
Or Pennywise might jump out.
Or what?
Pennywise. It was an It reference.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So get this. 40-year-old Boston University president Daniel Jones, an associate professor in the Boston University School of Public Health's Department of Health Law, Policy, and Management.
Say that again.
Associate professor in the BU School of Public Health's Department of Health Law, Policy, and Management.
That almost sounded like it was from the Department of Redundancy Department.
Kind of almost did, didn't it? Well, he was jogging in Dorchester, Mass. On Saturday, and he seemingly ran over a closed staircase near the JFK UMass Red Line T station. But after being deemed unsafe more than 20 months ago, both the upper and lower entrances to the staircase have been blocked off. And he fell 20 feet through the rusted staircase.
I don't feel bad for this guy.
Well, maybe you should. He's dead.
I don't feel bad for him.
Okay.
It was blocked off for a reason. Mm. Why'd you go up it?
He died. Yeah. His widow said he was the most loving, kind, considerate person I knew. He was the best father. Loved to dance, to fish, be outdoors and run. He loved unconditionally and was the proudest father to his kids. This is likely the hardest thing we'll go through as a family.
And apparently didn't follow directions all that well.
He was running and went through right through the rusted staircase.
That's no different than people that, thank goodness they only lose their vehicles in some cases, but people that, like, when we get rain and floods.
Yes.
And police officers go put barricades at low water crossings. The barricade is there for a reason. Don't drive around it. Don't move it and drive through.
The old turn around, don't drive. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry if I sound crass. I don't feel bad for this guy.
Okay.
Follow directions. Yeah. Snoop, if there was a blocked off staircase, would you, and you were on your jog, wouldn't you work around it, find a different path?
Correct.
Divert? Yeah.
Okay.
Problem solved.
All right. Snoop, they unveiled it yesterday, the new iPhone 13.
Saw this.
You did?
I did.
Saw it? They introduced four new iPhones at the annual events, and it's friendly design features and what they now call the new video cinematic mode.
Prices start as low as $699,
Snoop. Hey, Snoop has money, I know, because he was eating lunch out of the vending machine yesterday.
Yeah, I got three bags of chips.
And it was, I was like, man, Snoop is living high on the hog now. It must be a good day for old Snoop Daniel.
We got one. I just walked into that.
In the building, that's how you know Snoop is it's good times
about
financially.
Carrying a bunch of chips when in he's my arms.
When he just raided the vending machine downstairs.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so we got this one other. This is from our man, CB. No, it was not, as one texter asked. Chris Beard? No. Chris Bennett, of course. The Twitter savant and social media savant overall.
The CB9000.
The CB9000. He sent us the own that comes straight from the files of TMZ, so make of that what you will.
Here, I'll say this to set this story up, Craig.
Yeah.
Somebody, number one, had this idea. Number two, told somebody else about said idea. And three, said idea was carried out.
Yeah. You wonder who is the most to blame for that.
I guess this is a person that doesn't have any friends, because a real friend would have told somebody, this is dumb, please don't do it.
So, all right, here's the story. There was a parade in Porter County, Indiana, okay? And it was done with the mindset of commemorating.